Prior said once to Brother Giles, "Father, thou dost so often commend the virtue of chastity, that I would fain ask of thee what it is." And Brother Giles answered, "My brother, chastity is, in very truth, the careful and continual custody of our corporal and spiritual senses, in order to preserve them pure and unstained for God alone." Chapter 9 of Temptations. Man is unable to possess in peace the great graces which he receives from God, because many things that are contrary, disturbing, and hostile arise against those graces. For the more acceptable any man is to God, the more vehemently he is assailed and buffeted by the evil one. In order, therefore, to correspond with the grace which he receives from God, he must maintain an unceasing warfare, for the fiercer the conflict, the more glorious shall be the victor's crown. But we have not many conflicts, nor many impediments, nor many temptations, because as yet we have advanced but a little way in the spiritual life. True it is, however, that if a man walk warily and well in the way of God, he shall feel neither fatigue nor weariness in his journey. But the man who travels by the broad way of the world shall never be free from labor, weariness, anguish, tribulation, and pain, even to the day of his death. Then said one of the friars to Brother Giles, "Father, it seems to me that thou teachest us two things, the one contrary to the other. For thou sayest first, the more virtuous a man is, and the more acceptable to God, the greater conflicts has he to endure in the spiritual life. And next thou sayest the contrary, to wit, that the man who walks well and warily in the way of God shall feel neither weariness nor fatigue in his journey." To whom Brother Giles thus explained the contrariety of these two sayings, "It is most certain, my brother, that the devils bring a more fearful array of temptations against those who have a good will than against those who have not. But what harm can the devils and all the evils of this world do to the man who goes forward discreetly and fervently in the way of God, and therein labors and toils faithfully, knowing and seeing that as he does that, his reward shall 1,000 times overpay his labor. And further, I tell thee of a truth, that he who is enkindled with the fire of divine love, the more fiercely he is assailed by temptations to sin, the more deeply will he hold it in abhorrence and detestation. The worst devils ever hasten to tempt a man when he is under some bodily weakness or infirmity, or when he is in some great sorrow or anguish, or in a state of tepidity, or when he is hungry or thirsty, or has received some insult or affront, or some injury, spiritual or temporal. For these wicked spirits know well that at such times and in such circumstances he is most open to temptation. But I say to thee of a truth, that for every temptation and for every vice which thou shalt overcome, thou shalt acquire a virtue. And for each vice in the conquest whereof thou shalt overcome thyself, thou shalt obtain a larger grace and a brighter crown." A friar once asked counsel of Brother Giles, saying, "Father, I am assailed often by an evil temptation, and I have many times besought the Lord to deliver me from it, yet he takes it not from me. Counsel me, Father, what I ought to do." To whom Brother Giles made the reply following, "My brother, when a king arrays one of his knights in strong armor of proof, it is a token that he requires him to fight valiantly against his enemies for love of him." Another friar said to him, "Father, what can I do to attain to greater fervor and love of prayer? For when I go to pray, I am hard, cold, dry, and without devotion." Brother Giles answered him thus, "A king has two servants. One of them has armor of proof, the other has none. Both desire to go forth and fight against the enemies of the king. He that is well armed entered into the battle and fights valiantly. But the other who is unarmed says thus to his lord, 'My liege, you see that I am unarmed and defenseless. But for your love I will gladly enter into the battle and fight there, all unarmed as I am.' Then the good king, seeing the love of his faithful soldier, said to his servant, go with this, my true follower, and provide him with all the armor necessary for his defense, that he may enter securely into the conflict, and emblazon his shield with my royal bearings, that he may be known as my loyal knight. And thus oftentimes it cometh to pass, when a man goes to prayer, that he feels himself to be naked, indevout, cold, and hard of heart. But when he puts a force upon himself, and for love of our Lord enters boldly into the battlefield of prayer, our loving Lord and King, beholding the gallant bearing of his faithful knight, gives him by the hands of his ministering angels fervent devotion and goodwill. When a man has begun some great and laborious work, such as clearing the ground and cultivating the vine, that it may bring forth its fruit in due season, he is often tempted by the great toil and manifold hindrances he meets with to weary him of his work, and even to repent him that ever he began it. But if notwithstanding he persevere until the harvest time, he will forget all that he has endured in his joy at the fruit of his labors. In like manner, he who is strong to resist temptation shall attain to great consolations. For, as St. Paul tells us, after tribulation shall be given consolation and the crown of eternal life. And not only they who resist temptation shall obtain the rewards of heaven, but they shall be recompensed even in this life. As says the psalmist, Lord, according to the multitude of my temptations and my sorrows, thy consolations shall rejoice my soul, so that the greater the conflict and the temptations, the more glorious shall be the crown. A certain friar asking counsel of Brother Giles concerning a temptation said to him, O Father, I am beset by two evil temptations. The one is that when I do anything good, immediately I am tempted to vainglory. The other, that when I do anything evil, forthwith I fall into such sadness and despondency that I am almost in despair. To whom Brother Giles replied, My brother, thou dost well and wisely to mourn for thy sins, but I counsel thee to do so discreetly and temperately, and always to remember that the mercy of God is greater than all thy sins. And if the infinite mercy of God receiveth to penance a man who is a great sinner, and who sins willfully, when he repents, thinkest thou that the good God will forsake the man who sins not willfully, if he also be contrite and penitent? I counsel thee likewise not to refrain from doing well for fear of gain glory. For if the husbandman were to say in the seed time, I will not sow my seed, lest perhaps the birds come and eat it up, assuredly he would reap no fruit that year. But if he sow his seed, although the birds may consume a portion of it, he will gather in the greater part when the harvest comes. And so with the man who is tempted in vainglory, but continually resisteth the temptation, I say that he does not by reason of it lose the merit of his good work. A friar said to Brother Giles, Father, I have read that St. Bernard once said the seven penitential psalms with so great devotion and tranquility of mind that he thought of nothing else the whole time but of the words of the psalms he was saying. And Brother Giles answered him thus, My brother, I think more of the prowess of the knight who holds and valiantly defends a castle which is assailed and compassed around by enemies, so that he suffers none of them to effect an entrance, than if he were dwelling therein in peace, undisturbed by any hostile assault. Chapter 10 of Holy Penance. A man ought continually to afflict and mortify his body, and willingly to endure every injury, tribulation, anguish, shame, contempt, reproach, adversity, and persecution for the love of our good Master and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us an example of all this in his own person. For from the moment of his glorious nativity until that of his most cruel passion, he continually endured anguish, tribulation, pain, contempt, sorrow, and persecution, and that only for our salvation. Wherefore, if we would attain to a state of grace, it is necessary above all things that so far as possible we walk in the footsteps of our good Master Jesus Christ. A secular once said to Brother Giles, Father, how can we that live in the world attain to a state of grace? And Brother Giles replied, My brother, a man must first repent of his sins with great contrition of heart. Next, he must confess them to the priest with bitter and heartfelt sorrow, accusing himself of them sincerely, without excuse or concealment. Next, he must perfectly perform the penance enjoined him by the confessor. Also, he must guard himself from every vice, for all sin and from all occasion of sin. He must likewise exercise himself in good works towards God and his neighbor, and by so doing a man shall attain to a state of grace and virtue. Blessed is the man who feels a continual sorrow for his sins, weeping over them day and night in bitterness of heart, only because of the offense he has thereby offered to God. Blessed is the man who shall have always before his eyes the sorrows, pains, and afflictions of Jesus Christ, and who for his love shall neither desire nor receive any temporal consolation in this bitter and tempestuous world, until he comes to the celestial consolation of life eternal, wherein all his desires shall be fulfilled in fullness of joy. 11. Of Holy Prayer. Prayer is the beginning, the middle, and the end of all good. Prayer illuminates the soul and enables it to discern between good and evil. Every sinner ought to pray daily with fervor of heart. That is, he should pray humbly to God to give him a perfect knowledge of his own miseries and sins, and of the benefits which he has received and still receiveth from the good God. But how can that man know God who knoweth not how to pray? And for all those who shall be saved, it is needful above all things that sooner or later they be converted to the use of holy prayer. Brother Giles said thus, "If a man had a son who, for his evil deeds, had been condemned to death or banishment, most certainly he would use every means in his power, laboring day and night to obtain from the emperor the pardon of his son, and his release from banishment or death. He would make many prayers and supplications, he would give presents or pay fines to the utmost of his power, either in his own person or by the hands of his kindred and friends. Now if a man do all this for the mortal life of his son, how much more careful and diligent ought he to be in praying to God, and in begging both good men in this world and the saints in heaven to pray for his own soul which is immortal, when it is banished from the heavenly city, or when it lies under sentence of eternal death for its many sins." A certain friar said to Brother Giles, "Father, it seems to me that a man ought to feel great sorrow and grief of heart when he experiences not the grace of devotion in his prayer." Brother Giles answered him, "My brother, I counsel thee to proceed calmly and gently, for if thou hadst a little good wine in a bottle, and if in that same bottle there were dregs below the good wine, thou wouldst assuredly take care not to shake or move it, for fear of mixing the good wine with the dregs. Now, until thy prayer be freed from all vicious and fleshly lust, thou shalt receive no divine consolation, because that prayer is not pure in the sight of God, which is mingled with the dregs of carnal things. Wherefore a man should strive as much as possible to free himself from all the dregs of worldly concupiscence, that his prayer may be pure before God, and that he may derive therefrom devotion and divine consolation." A friar put to Brother Giles this question, "Father, why is it that a man is more disturbed by temptations during prayer than at any other time?" To which Brother Giles made answer as follows, "When a man has to bring any question for the determination of the judge, and goes to him for aid or counsel, his adversary no sooner hears of it than he straightway appears to oppose and resist his appeal, and to throw every obstacle in the way of his cause. So it is when a man goes to prayer. For if he goes to seek help from God in the cause of his soul, and immediately there cometh his adversary the devil with his temptations, to make great opposition and resistance, using every effort, artifice, and labor to hinder his prayer, lest it should prove acceptable in the sight of God, and to take from it all merit and all consolation. And this we may plainly see, for when we are speaking of worldly things, and feel perhaps no temptation, nor experience any distraction of mind, but when we go to prayer to delight and console ourselves, we are suddenly pierced with many arrows, to wit, by divers temptations, which the devil putteth in our way in order to distract our mind, that the soul may have no delight or consolation in its converse with God. Brother Giles said, furthermore, that a man in prayer ought to be like a good knight in battle, who, however hard pressed by his enemy, scorneth to leave the field, but resisteth manfully, striving to overcome his foe, that he may rejoice and triumph in the glory of victory. But if he should leave the battle for fear of wounds or death, assuredly he would meet with nothing but shame, confusion, and dishonor. And so ought we to do, for we ought not to intermit our prayer for every temptation which may present itself, but resist courageously. For, as the Apostle says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath overcome, he shall receive the crown of eternal life. But if, because of temptations, a man abandon prayer, he will certainly be defeated, dishonored, and overcome by his adversary, the devil. Another friar said to Brother Giles, Father, I see some men who have received from God the gift of tears, which they shed abundantly and devoutly in their prayer, and I can experience none of these graces when I pray to God. To whom Brother Giles made answer, My brother, I counsel thee to labor humbly and faithfully in this thy prayer, for the fruits of the heart cannot be gathered in without labor and fatigue being used thereon. And even after this labor and toil, the desired fruit follows not immediately, nor until its appointed season. So also God gives not these graces in prayer immediately, nor until the fitting time is come, and the mind is wholly purged from all carnal vices and affections. Therefore, my brother, do thou labor humbly in prayer for God, who is all good and gracious, knoweth all things, and discerneth what is best for thee. And when the fit time and season is come, he will in his loving mercy give thee abundant fruit of consolation. Another friar said to Brother Giles, What art thou doing, Brother Giles? What art thou doing, Brother Giles? And he answered, I am doing evil. And that friar said to him, What evil doest thou? Then Brother Giles, turning to another friar, said to him, Tell me, my brother, which thinkest thou is the readier, our Lord God to give us his grace, or we to receive it? And that friar made answer, Most assuredly God is readier to give us grace than we to receive it. Then said Brother Giles, Do we well in this? And that friar said, Nay, but we do evil. Then Brother Giles turned to the friar who spake first and said, See, brother, this shows us clearly that we do evil, and that I spoke truly when I answered thee, to wit, that I was doing evil. Brother Giles said also, Many works are praised and commended in Holy Scripture, such as the works of mercy and other holy works. But when the Lord speaketh of prayer, he saith thus, Our heavenly Father seeketh men to adore him on earth in spirit and in truth. Again, Brother Giles said, The true religious are like wolves, because they never come into public and frequented places, save upon great necessity, and seek immediately to return to their secret haunts, rather than to remain long among men. Good works adorn the soul. A friar who was a very familiar companion of Brother Giles said to him, Father, why goest thou not sometimes to speak of the things of God, to teach and to labor for the salvation of souls? To whom Brother Giles replied, My brother, I desire to fulfill my duty to my neighbor with humility and without injury to my own soul, and that is done by prayer. At least, said the friar, go sometimes to visit thy parents. And Brother Giles answered, Knowest thou not what our Lord saith in the gospel? He who shall leave father or mother or brethren or sisters for my sake shall receive an hundredfold. And he added moreover, A nobleman entered the order of friars minor, whose possessions valued perhaps 60,000 pounds. Great, then, shall be the reward of those who leave much for the love of God, since it is to be returned to them an hundredfold. But we who are blind, when we see any man virtuous and pleasing to God, understand not his perfection because of our own blindness and imperfection. Were we truly spiritual, we should seldom desire to see or speak with anyone, except upon great necessity. For the truly spiritual man desireth to dwell apart from creatures and to be united in God in contemplation. Then Brother Giles said to a certain friar, Father, I would fain know what is contemplation. And the friar answered, Father, truly I know not. Then Brother Giles said, To me it seems that contemplation is a divine fire.